You're listening to Vatican Radio. For over half a century, the New York-based Appeal of Conscience Foundation has been working to promote peace, reconciliation, and interreligious cooperation. The Interfaith Coalition of Religious and Business Leaders was set up by Holocaust survivor Rabbi Arthur Schneier in 1965. Since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the foundation has rallied religious leaders worldwide to take a stand against terrorism, using their influence to halt violence and promote tolerance and mutual understanding. A frequent visitor to the Vatican and friend of the past three popes, Rabbi Schneier is one of the few non-Catholics to receive a papal knighthood for his services to religious freedom and interfaith relations. He was back in Rome this week and shared his thoughts with me about the challenges of working for interreligious dialogue and cooperation today.
I have a long-standing relationship going back to Paul VI, working together on behalf of religious freedom and human rights, particularly as it affects Christian minorities during the height of communism, Soviet Union, Eastern Europe. The Appeal of Conscience, which is an interfaith foundation I founded in 1965, we would, of course, always consult with Bishop Casseroli at the time, or then became Cardinal Casseroli, to coordinate our joint efforts to relieve some of the oppression in those countries. So the Foundation is very much concerned about religious freedom, human rights, interreligious cooperation. So it's long-standing, and I'm very honored to have been asked to welcome both Benedict and Pope Francis in Jerusalem when they visited. I was there when Pope Francis met with His All Holiness Bartholomew. So I'm a frequent visitor, but as a Holocaust survivor, my greatest inspiration was President Roosevelt's four freedoms: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from fear, freedom from want. And if you think of it, these are some of the challenges we're facing today. Freedom of worship impaired, particularly sadly for the Christian minorities in the Middle East. 2 million Christians dislodged who have been there, you know, centuries. Then freedom of fear. We live in a time when you go to church or you go to mosque or you go to the temple or synagogue, you don't know whether you're going to come home alive because of all the terrorist activity, misusing and abusing the name of God. So my signature is a crime perpetrated in the name of religion is the greatest crime against religion. Those peace wreckers, I call them peace wreckers, need to be isolated. The message really that I try to convey, that we need to focus on the things we have in common and less on what our differences are. And if we focus on our common humanity, then we have to go beyond dialogue, action. And we can work together in many ways, which is the Appeal of Conscience Foundation. When it was the earthquake disaster in Turkey, we gathered the religious leaders of the United States, including the Armenians, to help the victim.
As you say, you and your foundation have been working for many decades.
Since 1965.
To try and promote this message of interfaith dialogue and action.
More, dialogue is a beginning, but you really move ahead if you work together. Fortunately, we have seen this leadership on a high level. I mean, the fact that John Paul, of blessed memory, visited a synagogue in Rome, first time a pope ever visited a synagogue in 2,000 years in Rome, okay? Pope Benedict, first papal visit in the United States to Parkey Synagogue, to my synagogue. The fact that Pope Francis went to Sweden, to the Lutheran Congress, the fact that Pope Francis went to Cairo, okay, and very much distraught by what happened to the Coptic worshippers on Easter and so on. These are high-level interreligious cooperation. Constantinople and Rome, Patriarch Kirill, whom I work with, in Havana with Pope Francis, okay? But what we need to do is to make sure that this message filters down to the future leaders.
Why do you think it's not doing so at the moment? Because we're seeing an incremental rise in religiously motivated violence, precisely as you say, which you have been working so hard to try and combat for all these decades.
I think that there's an increase in nationalism as a reaction to the globalization. Globalization was sort of a melting pot, and now you have a yearning, you know, for identity, and that leads not to a global view, but to a parochial isolationist view. That is the issue. But fortunately, look at the Nostra Aetate, Vatican II, how things have changed. Well, for instance, I visited the Vatican Museum, the menorah exhibit. Unbelievable. In the past, when you came to Rome, you saw the Arch of Titus with, you know, Titus and a defeated, destroyed population of Judea with the destruction of the Holy Temple. So what I'm saying is, in fact, our foundation made a decision. We're going to provide scholarships for future religious leaders in theological seminaries who need to be taught not just tolerance, mutual respect and mutual acceptance. Tolerance is just the beginning. I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be accepted. You retain your faith, you retain your identity, but you harmonize. And again, my favorite symbolism is the rainbow. You know, after the flood, civilization was destroyed because of strife. And then God gave us the ark, the rainbow, as a symbol. You want to have continuity, you want to have a new civilization prospering. Don't in any way dilute the colors. You can identify every color, the seven colors of the rainbow, but they harmonize. And that's exactly what humanity is all about. So we need to focus more on what is common and less on what is diverse. Respect diversity, but we have so many challenges. The scourge of terrorism. I'm a Holocaust survivor. I still remember my synagogue burning. When I see a church or a temple or a mosque burning, I see that image. Again, protection of religious sites, which are basically the jugular vein of every faith community.
We're almost a year on from Pope Francis' visit to Auschwitz, where members of your own family died, mm-hmm. didn't they? What effect did that visit have on you personally? What do you think was the impact of his message there?
First of all, a recognition of man's inhumanity to man that claimed 6 million of our people, and his presence there. Unfortunately, if I want to visit a cemetery on the anniversary of my grandparents' death, I can't go to a cemetery. It's the crematoria of Auschwitz or Theresien. So it's a recognition of that terrible tragedy that has not only that claimed the lives of 1.5 million children, and then also what you have, the rise of anti-Semitism that really led to this kind of brutality.
You've raised concerns about anti-Semitism rearing its head again, haven't you, very recently?
I never thought that after World War II and the Holocaust, I would speak in 2008, 2009, in Strasbourg at the European Parliament on the issue of anti-Semitism. But unfortunately, the ugly head of bigotry and so where we're again, the silent majority has to be awakened to take a stand against the peace wreckers. But as a survivor, I'm a perennial optimist, and I say every conflict comes to an end. 100-year war, 30-year war, World War I, World War II, every conflict comes to an end. So we have to believe we cannot change the past. And that was a message I gave in Srebrenica when I faced over 50,000 Muslims mourning, 8,000 men, and their young boys who were massacred. And I said, you cannot change the past, you must remember the past, but the present is a gift that we have to use in order to shape the future. And that is the challenge that each one of us has. And our common heritage is really the heritage of Abraham, our patriarch. God did not bless Abraham. He could have said, you know, Abraham, I bless you. No, he said, you, Abraham, you be a blessing, which means each one of us has a capacity to make a difference. And that has to be conveyed in schools, in seminaries. So it's not only high-level religious leaders who have the common humanity at heart.
My thanks there to Rabbi Arthur Schneier, founder of the New York-based Appeal of Conscience Foundation.